Well, it's a privilege being able to open God's word and teach from it to you this morning, particularly on an exciting occasion like this. And I guess there's one question that has come into my mind this morning. It's this one. How is your garden? If you have a garden, how is it doing? Let me just show you what my garden has been like. Has your garden been like this summer? Cracked and dried. But look at it today. Okay, admittedly, you can't see it. There's a lot of moss there. What has made the difference between the first bit of garden and the second bit of garden? It has been water. Water gives life. Water is life-giving. And I guess we've been reminded this summer, it's been lovely having the hot weather, but rain is not something to grumble about. It's a gift from God. And we've seen that. Water gives life. And Jesus, in the passage we had read to us from John chapter 7, stands up and in a loud voice says this. John chapter 7, verse 37. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus says, "I am the source of life-giving water. So come to me. I can do for your soul what that rain has done for my cracked and dry garden. So if you want life-giving water, trust me. Come and have a drink." That's what Jesus is saying. Now, for Jesus to say this is audacious and brave. It's utterly audacious and brave. Just have a look. If you've shut your Bible, just open it again, page 1072, and just have a look at John chapter 7. Have a look at verse 37. We are told, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up in a loud voice and said all this stuff." On the last and greatest day of this festival. Now, if you've been here a couple of weeks ago, you'll know at the start of chapter 7, we are in the midst of one of the great festivals of the people of God that they celebrated 2,000 years ago. It was the Festival of Booths. And they all got together, went to Jerusalem, probably tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, descending on Jerusalem for a week-long festival where they stayed in tents, where in the mornings, there was sort of an elaborate ritual where they took water from a well and they took it up to the altar in the temple where they worshiped God and they poured it before him in praise. In the evening, they would get together and under the burning lamps dance together at evening. And it reminded them of the time that God rescued them from Egypt to be his people in his promised land. It reminded them how he provided for them in the desert as they went on this journey, water from a rock two times so that they could drink and live. It reminded them of a pillar of fire that they followed at night as they followed him. See, this festival is tied up with God's redeeming work. It reminded them of the way God redeemed them in the past, and it reminded them of what God was going to ultimately redeem them for in the future. And Jesus, in this festival, on the last and greatest day, gets up, probably very close to the temple, if not in the temple, and declares, "If you're thirsty, come and have a drink. Living waters will flow from you. No more spiritual droughts if you come to me." Do you know what he's saying when he says that? He is saying, "I am what this festival is all about." Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Just imagine this week. There's been a lot of drama. There's been high drama and excitement. It's not excitement. I mean, that's just really an inappropriate way to describe it. But there's been a lot of excitement about a queue in central London for people to go and pay respects. And let's confess, how many people have been watching on YouTube to find out how long is the queue today? Should I go down? Is it just being me? Anyway, 13 hours, 14 hours, these people willing to queue, and probably the papers. What's been all over the papers? There's been hundreds of thousands of people queuing. And what's made the papers? Well, David Beckham queued. Do you know David Beckham queued? David Beckham was in the queue. 13 hours in the queue, David Beckham was there. Now, that would have caused a crackle of excitement for people around. But just imagine if he'd got into the throne room, if he'd got into Westminster Hall, and everyone's going silently, and rather than paying respects to the Queen, when they tap that sword thing, he goes, "Wait a minute, people, this is all about me." You'd be thinking, David Beckham, it is not all about you. You've gone beyond your station, my son. Shut up and get out. Now, obviously, he didn't do that. Here is Jesus on the greatest day of this festival. He gets up and he says, "Come and have a drink." He is saying, this festival is all about me. You know, it's audacious. For some people there, they would think, this is outrageous. Utterly outrageous. But what we've got to be clear about, it is brave as well. It is a very, very brave thing to do. See, just like the crackle of excitement that was in the crowds as David Beckham was 50 yards ahead of some people, actually, as Jesus turned up to this festival where they were celebrating the festival of the booths, people were saying, "Have you seen Jesus? Do you know who he is?" They're all talking about, who is he? And there's a number of times already where people have tried to seize him and they have not been able to do that. And the religious leaders hate what Jesus is doing and they want to kill him. And you see back in verse 32, they send out the chief priests and the Pharisees send temple guards out to arrest him. So Jesus is causing such a kerfuffle. And the question is, what is Jesus going to do? The religious leaders want to kill him. People are saying, "I think he's the Messiah. I think he's the one we've been waiting for. We think he's the promised king who's come." What is he going to do? Does he go into hiding? No. On the last and greatest day of the festival, he stands up and declares to all, "You're thirsty? Come to me to drink." See, it's very brave. Why does Jesus do that? Well, it's because he knows that without his life-giving water, our souls will die for all eternity under God's judgment. He knows the holiness of God. He knows the wickedness of our hearts. And he knows he is the only one who can give us the forgiveness that we need. I just wonder, do you know your soul is thirsty? You know, there's a whole host of ways that we can know our souls are thirsty. You know, maybe we succeed in life and actually you get all you hope for and you dream for. Your name is on the door and maybe you got the grades you wanted to get to UEA. You are here. Well done. Maybe you get the next pair of shoes or your team wins the league and it feels great for a while, but you're left thinking, is that it? You know, our souls are thirsty. Or maybe you blow it in life and you know you've blown it in life. We all blow it in life, but sometimes we know it. We feel the weight of the way we have sinned against others and we've let people down and it burdens our soul with guilt. You've hurt people you have loved and you feel despair and you know your soul is thirsty. Or maybe you're just shocked at death. You know, this week, again, we're just reminded of death. It's just in our face and we can't escape it. And it makes us think about our own death. And we think, is there anything beyond? And our souls are thirsty. Jesus knows us. He knows what we need. And he's willing to stand up, put his life in danger and says, "Come to me for a drink." What is the life-giving water that Jesus is offering here? What is the life-giving water that Jesus is offering here? And I think there's two aspects to what Jesus is offering here. And the first aspect is this. He's saying, "Come to me come trust Jesus. Let's get up on the screen. Come trust Jesus for eternal life with God. What he is offering here, as he says, come to me for a drink, he is offering us the opportunity to be part of his perfectly restored physical creation, living face to face with our maker God. Now, I can imagine you say, really, Andy? Is he really saying that? He just says, look, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. You know, he's offering a drink. But what you've got to understand is he's offering it in the context of this huge festival. And that is coming in the context of the big story of the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. And just bear with me. Okay, let me just tell you just some part of the big story of the Bible. Because back in creation, back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we get introduced to a garden temple. Now, a temple was in the Old Testament. It was the place where people came to do relationship with God, where he would forgive their sins and they could meet with God. But in Genesis chapter 2, there was no need for a physical temple. The garden was the temple because there was no sin. There was no wickedness. Adam and Eve could relate with the eternal, majestic God. And in the middle of this garden, Genesis 2 verse 10, we are told about a river. See this? A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. It was a river that split into four. And if you like, this river gave life to the world. A river in the garden paradise. It makes you think of garden paradise in perfect relationship with God. That's Genesis chapter 2. But Adam and Eve, they reject God and they get kicked out of the garden. And the question of the whole rest of the Bible is, how can man be brought into right relationship with God? How can we get back into that paradise garden? And there's a second picture. There's Genesis chapter 2. And this is something that is promised by a prophet of what will come. There's a prophet Ezekiel, and there's a second one. Let's have it up on the screen. Okay? It's the prophesied temple. And we won't turn back to it in Ezekiel chapter 47. But Ezekiel has this vision, and he is brought into the temple where people meet with God. And in this temple, there is a little stream of water that flows out. And he follows this stream of water, and this water gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And he's told to measure it as he goes, and it gets to a point where it's so deep you could swim in it. And then it gets further, and this water there is flourishing, and there's life, and there's fish. There's all kind of fish in this water, more and more fish. And this is what it says in chapter 47, verse 9. Everywhere the river flows, it gives life. Everywhere the river flows, it gives life. And look at verse 12 there. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every year? No, every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and the leaves for healing. But he's saying that this relationship with God that comes from the temple, this river that flows out from it, will bring complete restoration. Wherever it goes, it will bring life. Okay, that is the promise. And then we get a third picture. And this is right at the end of the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation, which looks to the future. It looks to the new creation that God will bring. And actually, keep your finger in John chapter 8 and just flick to the end of the Bible. Okay, you're going to get a bunch of maps, and then you'll get some Bible guide. And then you get Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And what do we find in this picture of the new heavens and the new earth? Revelation chapter 22, it's on page 1250. It's the very last chapter of the last book of the Bible. If you're looking at weights, you're not looking at the right bit. Just flip back one more, right? Weights and measures. Revelation chapter 22, and let me just read it to you. The angel showed me, this is a vision John has of the creation that God will be bringing, showed me the river of the water of life. as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. See, this one is not flowing from the temple, but from the throne of God and of the Lamb. What is the significance of that? That is because God now dwells with his people, not via a temple. He's just there. Down the middle, verse 2, of the great seat of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. A river with life that brings fruit, and God's people with their Creator, where there's just the fruit of peace and joy that will never go away. So you have the promise in Ezekiel. We will have the fulfillment in Revelation. And what does Jesus say as he stands in the middle? John chapter 7. Just flick back to it. What does he say as he stands up in the temple, around the temple, the one who in John chapter 2 has already told us that I am the new temple? He booms out this: let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. He is saying, I am the way that sinful, rebellious people can be brought to the perfect temple, paradise city. I am the way. I am in the middle. I am the means by which you can be there. And just have a look, right? Have a look at verse 38. And if you probably need spectacles on to be able to see this. But at the end of verse 38, there's a little C. Can you see that? And if you look at the bottom of the page, you'll find the little C. And it says this: let anyone drink who believes in me. As scripture has said, out of him will flow rivers of living water. And in the Greek, there's just a question about where you stick the comma. So the question is, where will the river, where will the rivers of living water flow from? And there's a question of whether it's from the person who believes or it is from Jesus, the one you believe in. Okay, is he the one from whom the rivers of living water will flow? And I want to say, well, I think the rivers of living waters flow from Christ. As we trust in him, they'll flow from us as well. And I'll come to that in a moment. But let's be clear, this river of living water that we've been reading about in Ezekiel, that will be there in the New Jerusalem, comes through Christ. And so Jesus says, do you want to drink? Do you want to come to life with God? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Do you want to have the fulfillment you long for, which can only be found in relationship with God? I am the temple through which it all flows. It's interesting, at the end of John's account of Jesus' life, there's a moment just after Jesus has paid for our sins and the wrath of God has been satisfied, that a soldier goes up to make sure he has died, and he sticks a spear in his side. And this is what John 19:34 says. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Now, I am certain there is a medical thing going on there, and if you're a doctor, you will know that when blood separates, you know, when someone dies after a while, the blood separates in a way and it looks like blood and water. You know, it proves that he dies, but I think John is saying something even more here. You know, when Jesus says, out of him, out of them will flow rivers of living water, actually that the translation is out of their belly, out of their gut will flow rivers of living water. And here is Jesus having paid for our sin. And what happens as they pierce his side? Water flows. I don't think that's an accident. See, I think that is Jesus saying, I am the one who has come to give my life so your thirsty soul can be forgiven and you can know God and come and drink. Have you ever come and drunk from Christ? Now, I appreciate there may be people new here today, there'll be people here to watch the baptisms, and Jesus is saying to you, come to me. And it may be you think, do you know what, I've never done that. Or maybe you think, what on earth is this about, and I need to know more. And if that's you, then Hope Explored would be a brilliant course to come on. But the offer is there, the invitation is there, come to me and drink. But let's be clear, okay, that is what Jesus is offering here. It is life for all eternity, but it is also for those who come and drink. It is life now that will flow to others. Again, look at that, verse 38. This is the second point. It is trust in Jesus brings life now that will flow to others. Look what he says in verse 38, because I'm having my cake and eating it. He says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from their belly within them. See, as we come to the Christ who will forgive our sins, verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit with whom those who believed in him were later to receive. He will give us his Spirit, which means we are brought into close and intimate relationship with God. It means that God, as we walk with Christ, as we believe in him, as we trust in him, as we live and speak for him, his Spirit will be at work in our hearts. He pours out his love into our lives. And that cannot but impact those around us. You know, and it may be that you are here today because of the baptism, and the reason you're here because of the baptism is because you've seen something different in the person who's invited you. And let me tell you, that is the living God pouring his living river of water into their life. I know there'll be a bunch of people here who may be feeling just discouraged. You see this and you think, well, this has not been my experience, Lord. I've come to you and you're saying living water will flow from within me. You know, where can I see this living river bring life wherever it goes? And it may be that for you, you know, you are clinging on to Christ. And that is all you can do in the midst of suffering. That's all you can do at the moment. And you do not know quite what people see as you do that. See, living rivers will flow. And as people see that, God will be at work. Or maybe you've spoken to loads of people about Jesus and you think nothing's come of it. Where's this living river flowing from me, Christ? You just don't know what those seeds sown will do. One of the guys I was reading, a bishop from the 18th century, a guy called James, 19th century, a guy called James J.C. Ryle, was saying we will only fully discover the impact of the living waters flowing through us when we get to glory. And I'm sure he's right. Just the breadth of how this living river will impact those in our world. I'll finish with this, and then we will baptize people. This past couple of weeks, someone from Brazil has got in touch with the office. Okay, they've got in touch with the office. Because they've been doing some research, and they said, in your documents, it sounds like back in 1921, you supported, as a church, this missionary couple who went out to Brazil. Now, here they are, Mr. and Mrs. Bryalt. There they are. They went out to Brazil, and someone's doing some academic research. Surrey Chapel's name came up. It said we prayed and we supported for them, and obviously there is no one here who knows them because none of us were around at the church in that time. But you know, this couple... the significance in Brazil is there is a Bible college that trains pastors named after them that they established. Okay? And so people in this church were praying for them and giving money to them to enable them to serve Christ. And lots of those people will now be in glory. Okay, they will be with Jesus in that paradise place. And they will meet some people from Brazil, from now, who have come to know Christ because they supported this missionary college, this missionary couple who set up this Bible college that is still teaching people how to teach others about Christ. They've trained some pastors who've led a church that these people have come to know Christ in, who will be with him for all eternity. The living river has flowed from Christ into people's hearts, and that cannot but bring life wherever it goes. Christian, don't be discouraged. Keep looking to him. Let's bow our heads a moment. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus' bravery as he stands up and offers living water to all who will come to him. Father, thank you for Jesus' willingness to not just be brave and proclaim that, but to go to the cross so that that can be achieved. Thank you that living water can come to any of us here as we come to know Christ and his Spirit's work in our lives. We thank you for this promise that living water will also flow to those around us. Father, help us to be people who you use for Jesus' glory. In his name, amen.